Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, you know, I was kind of shocked when I looked back over the records and found out there's actually been 4 years since we last spoke to landscape photographer Ken Duncan on Open House. 2006. That's just not right. It's just not right. Ever since then, he's travelled many more thousands of kilometres, as he does, all around the world. He's taken many more thousands of pictures. He's been awarded an OAM last year for his services to photography and the arts. But despite all of this success, he still likes to be known as an average photographer with a great God. Ken Duncan, good to talk to you, mate. So even though it's been a little bit of a, I guess, a, you know, a while between drinks, good to talk to you again.
Look, mate, great to talk to you, but I've been listening to you, so I've had you covered.
Thanks, mate. Well, that's a great encouragement. This latest book that you've done, Walking in the Light, brings together kind of your best shots, quote-unquote, your best shots of the last 30 years of you doing what you do. Mm. Now, I'd love to, I guess, get some insights as to how you discern your best shots. I mean, there have been literally thousands now. How do you discern the best shot?
Well, look, it was a hard call, but what I really wanted to do, often what makes a photograph is not just the pictures, but also the story behind the picture, how it came about, what was happening at the time. We called it Walking in the Light because I really wanted to give glory to how God has helped me at different times on my journey. Mm. And as a byproduct, it's like he's given me a photograph. And, you know, it's like I think he's got a great sense of humour, especially to put up with someone like me, but it's like, here's a photo, knucklehead, so you'll never forget it. Well, he probably hasn't called me knucklehead, but, you know, and that's
if
why...
If he did, I'm, he did it in love. Well, tell me about a moment then, a moment where it was kind of, yeah, it was a God moment for you, and God gave you a photograph of the moment.
Magical moments. My journey wasn't really to become a so-called famous photographer. It was really to find a meaning to life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sharing that journey as I go along. The front cover is a photograph of a beautiful area down in the Flinders Ranges, and it's got those classic big river gums. Mm. But you've got all this dust around, and the trees emerging out of the dust.
The light breaking through the dust, which is just gorgeous.
Yeah, the light breaking through the dust. Now, how that happened, I'm following a drilling truck through the Flinders Ranges, and I'm on a mission. I've got to go to a location. I'm in control here, you know, and I want to get to this destination because I think there's a great shot there because I've done it before, you know, which is often the way we do. We've done it before, so we're going to do something similar again. And as I'm traveling along, this truck is just going so slow, you know, and it's all this dust everywhere, and I'm thinking, that's it, I'm going to overtake this guy. And it would have been the most dangerous and stupid thing because you couldn't even see in front. You just have to poke out and go, well, here goes. And then all of a sudden, God got my attention and just said, relax, Ken. You know, this is not a dumb idea. And so I just slowed down. And then as I started to slow down, all of a sudden, I started to see what all of this dust was doing to the landscape.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I thought, wow, I think there's a photo here, like Knucklehead Duncan. And so I pull up and I had my assistant, you know, act as the truck, and he started creating this dust. And we're shooting on film, so we never really knew exactly what we had, but here we're having all of a sudden having this fun time creating dust and creating and shooting this shot. And that's how the shot came about.
Mm-hmm.
And like the lesson for me there is, in life, sometimes things come along which seem to slow you down or, you know, hold you up. And rather than trying to be obsessed with overtaking that thing, maybe God's trying to get your attention to say, hello, look mm-hmm. around, I'm mm-hmm. trying to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
Good
point.
Lots of those encounters, and they're just funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you've had some interesting encounters over the years, including an encounter with an elephant.
Well, the elephant was, I always wanted to photograph wildlife with my particularly wide camera, which means you've got to get really close, like 30 feet or what would you call it now? 10 meters or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
9 to 10 meters away from the elephant. Because of the wide lens. And the reason I wanted to do that is so that I can get everything in focus from the grass, and also I wanted to get the scenery around it, not just a photo of an elephant, you know.
Mm.
So I was over in Zimbabwe, and I was on the Zambezi River with a guy who's like the Steve Irwin of Africa. And we had this big bull elephant come through our camp, and he sort of went into the river to swim out to an island in the middle of the Zambezi River. And my guide said, mate, here's your chance. I think we can probably get out there, and when he gets on the island, we'll probably get a shot of this. And so we followed this elephant out with his little with his trunk up like a snorkel, going out swimming through the Zambezi out to this island. And then we got on the island, and there's hippopotamus there, there's crocodiles there too. So my guide's watching those, and then I sneak up and get, you know, within, you know, 9 meters of this elephant, and I'm going, you know, click, click. And my guide said, whatever happens, if this thing charges, don't run. And I'm going, okay. And I'm thinking, an elephant, it's huge. I'm only halfway up this elephant. And I'm just thinking, if it's going to run, it'll take a little bit of time because, you know, big legs, it'll take a little warm-up, bit of exercise, and then it'll break into a run. But that is not the case. What happens? They just explode. And the next minute, this thing is just waving his little ear, and I'm thinking, how cute. And that's a signal like, not happy, Jan, I'm about to charge. And it charges. And, like, to tell you the truth, I just was so overwhelmed by this thing coming so fast and so big that I just was like, wow. And I always thought, if you're going to die, it's good to photograph it. So I had a motor drive there as well, so I'm going, babbity, 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 babbity. But then all of a sudden, it was coming in so close, like it was within about a meter away from me, and I was bending backwards thinking, this is it, you know, and it was all blue sky. And then all of a sudden, I just saw out of the corner of my eye a hat going towards the elephant, and then the elephant reared up right in front of me and then settled down and walked away. And, you know, all I could think about is a hat. What has that got to do with this picture? Like, the guy, and I turned around and said, you just threw a hat at an elephant. And he said, well, yeah, usually that works. And I thought, usually? That's not the thing I really want to hear here. But, you know, I thought you had this really under control. And he said, well, actually, once the elephant ate the hat, he said, and it took me a whole day to get it back. He's a couple of shades lighter, but, you know, it's still there. So this is a true story. And these hats are called Tilly hats or something, and they're meant to be indestructible. And now I think he's on their website and gets free hats from them. So that was the fun. But I got the shot.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Landscape photographer Ken Duncan is with us. Some great stories. Openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast from tomorrow afternoon. So, Ken, photography as a spiritual exercise. I mean, if anybody has thought that through, you have. I mean, there is certainly a spiritual quality to being able to take a good photo. Now, for you, sometimes it's actually, you know, the lesson comes before, during, after, whatever it might be, when you're actually taking the shot, as you were mentioning before. But there is something that about photography that kind of stops us, stills us, makes us focus on the creation of God.
Right.
Look, take me further in that kind of thinking. That's where I've been thinking about photography recently.
Look, it's really exciting, actually. It's actually letting go. And it's like, and that's why I say I'm an average photographer with a great God, because it's not false humility. It's just, that's the hardest part, letting go and going, okay, God, what are we doing here? I'm very fortunate because my job is waiting, you know, and, you know, I wasn't really born a patient person, but I've had to become that because you just can't rush things. And so you're sitting there waiting. So if you're waiting for a long time, your natural tendency is to start to look around you and start seeing things, and you start to realize this is not by chance. This doesn't happen by chance. Or then you see a little ant walking past you with a leaf 10 times bigger than it, and it's, you know, struggling to take this little leaf, but somehow it's able to do that. And you think, man, that just doesn't happen by chance. I mean, the mechanical advantage of that ant, you know, and you start to really look at life. And you're forced to deal with reality, because when you get back on the light box, you're looking at that thing and you're looking at the subtlety of everything to see which is the shot that's got the magic or which is the shot that's got the anointing. And so you're really forced to look at it, whereas most people's lives are a blur. You know, they're just on such a journey that they're like, you know, they'll even drive past that truck with all the dust and not even care about it because, man, I'm on a mission, you know, and it's usually not a mission for God.
Yeah,
it's just fun, you know, and I'm not saying I've got this all together, because sometimes I fight God too, because I get into that place where, oh, I've done this shot before, you know, it's successful, it sells well, or something like that. But I'm usually smart enough to sense he's trying to get my attention, and I go, okay, I'll do one for you. And sometimes I'll do it like that, I'll do one or two for him, and I'll do, you know, 50 for me, and guess who's two of the best? His. Mine are all just technical.
Yeah.
See, the thing is about, I reckon, with God, he doesn't want you to go down well-trodden paths. He wants you to make new paths with him. And I've always thought, If it's not bigger than you, then it's not God.
And look at the result with some of the most amazing images that you have caught. I mean, they really are breathtaking. The Bible verse that is very much a theme for you, you've got it on your website, you've got it in your exhibition centres and everything, is Romans 1, verse 20, which talks about ever since the beginning of the world, God's invisible qualities, his divine nature, his omnipotent power have been seen by what has been made, so that all without excuse. That's one of my favourite verses as well, because it gives me a reason as to why I'm so overwhelmed by natural beauty. That natural beauty actually reflects the very beauty of God.
It is. And, you know, like, people say, show me God, and I go, hello? Have you looked around lately? Yeah. But look, I can understand it, because people get so caught up in stuff, and they get so caught up in hurts and pain that all of a sudden they don't begin to see the beauty around them. And, you know, even Jesus himself, he retreated all the time up to the high places to get away. And I think one of the biggest problems with our society today is we don't spend enough time getting away, having time to, you know, recenter ourselves, to get to sort through what is important and what's not important. And, you know, even myself right now, like, I am being seriously challenged about, you know, when I get upstairs, I'm not going to just be able to say, God's not going to just say, hey, Ken loved your photos. He's going to say, well, what did you do to bring people to know me? You know, because that's what he wants to do. He just wants to know and love everybody and walk and talk with them. You know, God never designed us to walk alone. Yes. It's our own arrogance that has us walking alone. Some people think that if you're going to become a Christian, you become this dork or something, you know. It's not like that, because when you become a Christian, he really does blow your mind. He just says, I think we should do this. And you're thinking, I can't do that. And he's saying, I know you can't, but we can. So you get yourself in situations along the way, and I just go, well, gee, it's going to be great to see how you're going to get us out of this one. But he's never let me down. And it gives you the faith to put yourself in those situations.
And therein lies the challenge. This is Open House right across the nation. Ken Duncan is with us. You obviously know his amazing photography. We're chatting to him about, I guess, reviewing the last 3 decades of his work. He's just put together a book that kind of captures what he says are kind of the best shots that he's had over those 30-odd years. And funnily enough, those best shots seem to have a divine component to it. They've had a little bit of divine nudging and guidance to them. How have you changed your photographic techniques over the last 3 decades, Ken? What are you doing today, say, that you maybe weren't doing, say, 20 years ago? Have you seen any change?
Yeah, look, to tell you the truth, though, it really doesn't matter what you shoot with. It's just a matter of getting out of bed and getting on with the job. Look, yeah, I started with a very simple camera. All of these shots that you're actually going to see in this book are all shot on that amazing storage device called film. And, you know, like, you're looking at 1.5 gigs of information on each one of these images. So when people talk to me about 25 megapixel cameras, it's like, oh, well.
You know, Ken, I've only just, after years of wrangling from a dear friend of mine, I've only just changed to digital. I've been using film for all of these years simply because of the quality. And, of course, I'm not using gear anywhere near as good as yours, but because of the quality of it. I've only just become a traitor myself. But the fact is that that's the thing, isn't it? Like you said, I mean, your main point is that it's all about the image. There's enough gear out there to get a decent image there. It's really just about your composition.
Yeah, and look, this is what people think, that it's about the camera. Now, sure, with all this digital stuff around now, it's just a matter of, if you're not using what you got now, you'll never use what you haven't got. And, you know, often people think, oh, I'm going to become a photographer just like Ken Duncan, so I'm going to go and buy the gear he's got, and then I'm going to become a photographer. Well, you know, good luck. You know, but you've still got to get out of bed and get on with the job.
Yes.
And the other key is, if you really want to do what I'm done, you're really going to have to, at some stage, say, God help me. You know, I need a bit of help here. You know, and that's the hardest part. To tell you the truth, in photography, I really think photographs are gifts. And a really exciting thing to explore for people is to not be in control and go, okay, God, help me see what it is I'm meant to see. And look, that's how I became a Christian. Look, and I was a real hard nut case. Like, I used to hate Christians. I used to, like, argue with them all the time, and I'd try and get them upset, you know, and then when they'd get upset, I'd go, gee, this Jesus thing's really working well for you, you know. But there were certain Christians I could never get upset, and they just loved me, and they go, well, that's okay. And I'm just going, what's with these guys, you know, because they had the real thing. They had the peace that transcends all understanding, you know.
I mean, because your spiritual journey is really quite varied, isn't it? I mean, you went through outback healing centres and all sorts of kind of new spirituality paths.
Yeah, and I was a New Age fairy. Look, and I have great respect for people who are on the journey of searching, because they're searching for truth, and, you know, at least they're searching. So I came through Buddhism, Hinduism, Aboriginal spiritualism, and a lot of other things on the way. But I was looking, and, you know, a lot of these things have truths in them. It's not like they're just totally no truth in them. Mm. There's a lot of truth in them. But when it compares to Christianity and Christ and the connection we can have to God through him, nothing compares to that. You know, and, you know, what I love about that, it's not through our works, it's through what Jesus did for us.
Yes.
Where the others, man, you're meditating and floating in tanks and, you know,
Well, again, it's actually letting go, isn't it? I mean, it's actually saying, no, I can't work my way to God or into his favour or to get into a particular situation where I'm going to experience transcendence, whatever it might be. It's actually saying, God's done it all for us. Let go.
Let receive it.
Receive now, it. All you have to do is bow.
And look, I understand why a lot of people have issues in this area, because they've been let down by people before. They may have been let down by a loved one who should never have let them down. And it's this trust thing. But I'm telling you, God is very trustworthy. In fact, he's the only one you can trust.
Indeed. What I like about you, Ken, is the fact that we talk about photography, but you can't help talking about God, which I really, really like. One more photographic-related question, though. Yeah. When you're looking through the viewfinder and assuming God is actually, you know, working and guiding and all of that kind of stuff, when you look through the viewfinder, though, what are you primarily looking for? I mean, are you working on the rule of thirds, or
I know all those rules, but you've got to, in a way, get rid of all that sort of stuff, too. But there are things that you're looking at. You've got to try and create the third dimension, because you're dealing with a two-dimensional situation with the way photography is at present.
Mm.
So you've got to think, now how can I create dimension in this shot? And there's certain things like using foreground interest, using lines, because often people go to a beautiful spot and it's sensational and they take a photo, they come home and they'll say, gee, it was much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because they have failed to convey that third dimension in that picture.
That's good.
One practical tip that I can possibly give people. You know, like my pastor, who's a great friend, Barry, he used to take all his photos from inside the car. You know, and he'd even have the mirror of the car in the left-hand corner. And I'd say, man, you got to get out of that car. You can't be doing that. Not all these photos, but now he's understood composition and he's a great photographer.
Hey, Ken, I bet it must be hard for you to get out of the church car park on a Sunday morning, because everybody's bringing up their happy snaps to you and saying, what do you think about this one, Ken?
I love photography, so I don't mind that.
But this is
another thing. Look, the trouble is with digital, there's never been more photos taken, but none printed. We think we've got problems now when our parents pass on and leave us a box of photos. What's going to happen in the new generation when you leave a box of hard drives?
Mm.
That by the time, you know, we've passed this planet, what is it?
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So I think people have got to get a bit more disciplined and stop happy snapping all the time and actually dealing with the stuff they've got, because they're treating their photography like life. They're just bam, 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 and they're never really looking at what they've done. They're never really learning from what they've done. They're just consumed by snapping.
Again, that's slowing down, actually
being
mindful about the things you're doing. Now, before we let you go, tell me about this project that you're doing with Indigenous folks at the Red Centre, I believe, and they're going to erect a cross or something?
Well, we've been working with Indigenous people out in Central Australia, and there's some amazing stuff happening out there with them, and teaching young kids about photography, cinematography and music. But we've just been building connections between artists, and we had a big concert out there. We had some of the guys from Hillsong, some of the guys from Brisbane City Church, and all these tribes coming in, and we had like this big, it was just a ball, you know, a celebration to Christ. And while we're out there, they said, oh, we want to build this cross on this mountain, and it's their mountain. And we said, yeah, okay, let's do that. So we're going to build a 20-metre big cross on this amazing mountain right in the heart of Australia.
It was their idea?
Their idea, yeah, because, you know, I've seen a lot of mountains, and I was never really having to put crosses on them, but they wanted it because to them it's important for them because they're dealing with some pretty heavy spiritual stuff out there, and they want people to know that they stand for Jesus, which is an amazing thing. And we're out there celebrating, we're joining them in their celebration about their Christian heritage. And, you know, I said, if it's your vision, then you've got to have ownership of it too. You have to, you know, make sure that you also put money into this. So they've got all of some of the top painters out there in the heart of Australia right now. They're painting paintings. And later on next year, we'll let you know we're going to have this big exhibition where we're going to sell all those paintings to help raise money to build this cross. And then after we've built that cross, we're going to be having a centre out there, an art centre, which will continue the work to build relationships between the artists. And then we're going to have this huge concert out there where Christians from all around Australia will come and we'll have this celebration and, you know, really a forgiveness conference where we say, God, forgive us all for trying to do it on our own.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe reconciliation, the government need to get out of the job. The more they get involved, the worse it is. Reconciliation, we have the key through Christ. And, you know, Christians, we need to, where we can, get out there and help. But, you know, obviously we need to create a situation where we're not just coming in and going away. It has to be an ongoing relationship, and that's why we call it Walk a While. So it's a mutual thing. And, you know, there's a huge amount of Christian Indigenous people. In fact, I think at the last census, 65% put down their faith as Christian.
Well, that's very exciting. So that's going to happen over the next year. When do you think the final culmination of that would be? Is it like kind of a 2012 kind of thing? Or?
Well, I don't know. Sooner the better, I reckon. I'm not sure. I've laid it before the Lord, and as president, it's been great. We're going to next year go out to some of the churches. People like World Vision and Compassion have offered to help us there too. But, you know, I think it's a great thing to raise a cross in the heart of Australia because I believe there's revival happening. And I think the key to revival is through the Indigenous people. I think God has an incredible destiny for this nation. I do believe it's the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there's going to be a revival so great that this is going to touch the world.
Yeah.
And there's never been a better time than now. So the quicker we get that cross off and get up with the job, it'll be fantastic.
Exciting stuff. All right, Ken. Well, we won't leave it so long from last time, from when we talked to you next. Good to talk to you again, mate.
Thanks,
it's always
mate.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Ken Duncan. That project that he was just talking about, Walk a While, if you want to check that out on his website, Walk a While. And also the new book is Walking in the Light, looking over the last 3 decades of his work. KenDuncan.com is the website.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.